This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Happy Friday, everybody. Jim Inman here in the studio with you May 15th, 2015. It is, Saturday morning, May 16th, 2015. And the reason I give the year is because it's palindrome week. If you are a math person, math whiz, math geek, whatever your title is, if you will, the palindrome is where it's the same thing forwards and backwards. So 5-1-5-1-5 backwards is 5-1. You get my idea. 5-1-6. You get my idea. So it's palindrome week, and it's probably one of those things that if you are on social media, you will get 400 posts about it that tell you that it's the only time it's ever going to happen in the next 800 years. And if you don't do anything about it and hop on one leg while you're thinking about what you're going to do about it, then consequently, you're going to not get the $1 million prize that was awarded to you by a princess from a non-existent country that arrives in your spam filter. Anyway, all I'm saying is it's May 15th. Happy Friday to you all, and hopefully you're having a good Saturday morning if you're waking up to us here on WGCL. Last weekend was the exodus of the IU students. The vast majority have left the community for a little bit, and IU's graduation came off without a hitch. So it's a little bit of a free time, if you will, if you're in the Bloomington area, to go out and explore campus and take advantage of some things. Of course, IU baseball's still in play. We'll talk about that in sports in just a little bit. But it's for some of those folks who live in this community, this is kind of the time where you can go out and stretch your legs a little bit. And there's a lot of fun things coming up in the not-too-distant future. Of course, Taste of Bloomington happens in mid-June. This is the start of wedding season as well, so you know that that's part of things coming up over the next several weeks. The 4th of July parade is also on board. That'll be coming up. 4th of July, I think, is on a Saturday this year. So the Keith Klein and I have been MCs of that for the last few years, and hopefully we're still part of that again this year. And so, yeah, it should be even a bigger turnout if it's on a Saturday, and hopefully we get a lot of crowd to come downtown for the 4th of July parade. Also, with May just around the corner next weekend is the Indianapolis 500, the 99th running of the race up in Indianapolis. WGCL is your home for the Indianapolis 500 race. We'll talk a little bit about that in sports as well, but it is going to be on from 11 till 3 on May 24th. So we're about 10 days out for that, but 11 to 3 here on WGCL. You can tune in and enjoy all of that. The big man is not here this week yet again, Mr. David Piller. He is on his birthday assignment, if you will. So if you see him out and about, wish him a happy belated birthday. His birthday was on Thursday this week. I didn't get a chance to see him, but send him a text message with the love and all of that. So hopefully he is enjoying his birthday week with his lovely wife and maybe his parents, who knows. But all the best to Mr. Piller, and he's promising that he will be back in the not-too-distant future. So hopefully we will see him in the studio next week. But in the studio, excited to have a guest with me tonight, Mr. Phil Lowe. He is the new CEO of Monroe Hospital on the south side of Bloomington. There's been a lot of talk, there's been a lot of publicity, a lot of media about the evolution of Monroe Hospital, where it started from, financial situations that they've been involved in, leadership changes. There's been all kinds of things with Monroe Hospital. So we've invited the new CEO to come into the show here this week and talk and share about Monroe Hospital and what their vision is of growth, how I-69 is impacting them. If you're not familiar with Monroe Hospital, they are right off of Highway 37, south side of Bloomington. And so I-69 is directly impacting them and their future. So we'll talk with Mr. Phil Lowe about that in just a little bit, get his perception on things and much more. Lots of things to talk about as well in sports. Of course, the big news, I say of course jokingly, the Dolls and Kickballs team that I have been co-coaching with my buddy Josh, and we came out on top this season, 5-0-1 officially last night, one tie. It probably shouldn't have happened, but that's okay. So we are at the top of the list right now, and we go into playoffs next week. But that's not really the big news, is it? The big news we'll talk about later in sports of the two IU Hoosiers who have been removed from the IU men's basketball team. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview has all your information about the show here. We would love for you to go over there, like us, follow us, check us out, all of that. And then, of course, WGCLRadio.com. You can catch up on any of our past shows there. You can also stream our audio 24/7. So if you are home and you don't have a great radio signal wherever you're at, or if you're at work, you can dial into WGCLRadio.com and click Listen Now, and away you go. We're going to take a break. When we come back, lots of things to talk about in the news scene. And then again, later on, Mr. Phil Lowe, the Monroe Hospital CEO, is going to be joining us here in the studio in just a few minutes. So glad you're joining us on your Friday night or your Saturday morning. Pour yourself another cup of coffee. If it's Saturday morning, grab yourself another drink, whatever that is on Friday night. And hopefully you are not doing anything stupid with that. And we'll be back in a couple minutes here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you, and so glad that you are joining us tonight. In just a little bit, Phil Lowe, the hospital CEO, Monroe Hospital CEO, will be joining us here in the studio to give us an update about that. But before we get to Phil, a little bit of news plus your forecast for the weekend tonight, Friday night, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low around 66 tonight. Then on Saturday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy again, high near 79. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 67. And then on Sunday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy, with a high near 82. So we're getting a little bit into the wet and muggy forecast, if you will, this weekend. Monday's looking to be warm, but it's going to cool off on Tuesday and Wednesday next week, if all goes according to plan. Of course, all your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. City of Bloomington got a positive financial checkup. Isn't that nice to hear after so many things in recent months about that? Herald Times reports the city's financial situation is wholly positive, Controller Jeff Underwood told Bloomington City Council members on Wednesday this week. As the council sat down informally to discuss priorities for next year's budget, Underwood gave what he called a, quote, 50,000-foot overview, end quote, of the budgeting process, outlining how city funds ended in 2014. He said the numbers look good. The city ended the year with 32% of the annual general fund and rainy day fund in reserve. That's quite a bit more than the low 20s minimum percentage that Mayor Mark Cruzan said he prefers to see. Now, overall, city funds saw an increase of nearly $6 million, including $1.4 million in the general fund and a little more than $12,000 in the rainy day fund. Mayor Cruzan is quoted as saying, "The good news is there's no bad news." And he said that after Underwood gave the 9-member panel a brief financial outlook and got a little bit of a laugh from the council members. Cruzan said there are also some things that could give wiggle room in the budget, including a potential $48 million bond issue through the city's redevelopment commission, and the fact that council members could cover some one-time expenses through the rainy day fund. The city spent no money last year out of the rainy day fund, which had an ending balance of $4.6 million. Kudos go out to two local police officers who were awarded Officers of the Year on Wednesday this week by the Exchange Club of Northside Bloomington. Senior Officer William Abram acted in, quote, the finest tradition of police service when he, at great risk to himself, put himself in the line of fire to stop a brutally violent sexual assault, according to a nomination letter from Bloomington Police Chief Mike Dekoff. That is from the incident that occurred early in November 2014, involving the three men from the Indianapolis area. The other recipient of the Officer of the Year Award, 24-year veteran of the Indiana State Police, Master Trooper John Patrick, he leads the Bloomington Post Meth Task Force, which has dismantled more than, this number is amazing, it's scary, and it's humbling. He's dismantled more than 1,000 methamphetamine labs. He has served on the ERT, the Emergency Response Team, and gives educational presentations about the dangers of drug use and abuse. Northside Exchange Club has been doing these awards for 55 years now. So to Officer Abram and Officer John Patrick, thank you very much for your service, as to all of our law enforcement and emergency staff here in Bloomington and Monroe County. Our Bloomington High School North was recognized this week by the U.S. News and World Report. They were named one of the top 10 of Indiana's best high schools on Wednesday this week. Ranking is based on how well the school educates all of its students and on how students' scores on academic placement exams compare to the rest of schools in the state. Now, of 29-plus thousand public schools across the United States, they were considered. there were 145 Indiana high schools that were in the best high school ranking, and Bloomington North was number 10. Principal Jeff Henderson said the school has made a concentrated effort to get students enrolled in AP courses and take the exam, which is used in the admissions process for many colleges when choosing among applicants each year. And Henderson also gave credit to the faculty, students, and community for the school's achievement. The top 10 ranking, according to Henderson, is a reflection of the quality of North's students and families, as well as the community and the value it places on education. So congratulations to Bloomington High School North. Our friend Brian Muehlhouse, who's been on the show before, is part of the team up there. And Mr. Piller spent several years teaching at Bloomington North as well. And kudos to all of them. Speaking of education as well, the exact location and look of a new branch of the Monroe County Public Library isn't really clear just yet, but the upcoming project now has nearly $600,000 in capital funds available to use. County Council members on Tuesday this week unanimously approved transferring nearly the full amount from the library's operating fund to the Library Improvement Reserve Fund, used to save for future capital expenditures. They allocated $580,000 of that $600,000. And future is a good way to describe this project, as we can probably take from this article from the Herald Times. Although a new branch has been included in two of the library's past strategic plans, it stalled due to ongoing renovations at the main library branch on Kirkwood downtown. Now, those renovations were completed earlier this year, and that left the door open for the county to start planning for a new branch. So where would we put a new branch of the library? Well, there is a general target area for the branch, the southwestern corner of the county. That's where most of the county's projected 30% growth is expected over the next decade and a half. There's an area that's also growing and is expected to grow more with the construction of I-69 in the county. But while the county has had a general idea in mind, library staff members are still in the very, very early stages of planning, and the appearance and purpose of the new branch is still up in the air, according to Library Director Marilyn Wood when she spoke to county council members on Tuesday night this week. Speaking of downtown, also, the Bloomington Plan Commission voted 7-1 on Monday night to approve the county's proposal for a 7-story, 240-spot parking garage downtown, which would also function as an emergency evacuation site for the jail next door. Commission member Jane St. John, cast a lone vote of dissent. There's more than 650 county employees that work within two blocks of the garage's planned location on the southwest corner of 8th and Morton Streets. So basically, the other way to think of that is one block north of the Justice Building right now. These employees hope the facility, as well as the potential of leasing up to 100 parking spaces in city-owned downtown lots, will ease their commuting woes. Mayor Mark Cruzan is quoted in the article as saying, "We're talking about a large and important downtown employer when talking about the county. If this was a private employer, we would have found a way to make this work by now." Now, the garage's design has been significantly changed and updated in three meetings since March. What started as a 9-story blueprint is now 7 stories, and plans for a work center release have been scrapped altogether. More vertical supports have been added, and the street level will feature pedestrian-level art displays, which would be updated seasonally. So it's nice to know that there will be yet another parking garage in downtown Bloomington. And one last thing here before we take a break. It is, as we mentioned earlier in the show, time for the 4th of July parade in just a few weeks. City of Bloomington Parks and Rec is accepting applications and entries for this year's 4th of July parade. It's scheduled, as I mentioned, for Saturday, July 4th. It's a great time. It is all American. It is ice cream and babies and just a lot of fun. You have to register. $25 is the registration fee to participate, limited to the first 100 applicants. So if you're interested in doing that, head over to facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview. We'll put the link up there to the Bloomington Parks and Rec page for that information. So again, $25 to get into the 4th of July parade this year. You've got to be in the first 100 to do that to get accepted. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Phil Lowe, the Monroe Hospital CEO, newly in charge there over the last couple of months, he's going to be here in the studio in just a couple minutes talking to him about the future of Monroe Hospital, I-69 and its development, a general overview of what Monroe Hospital offers as well. If you haven't visited the facility, this is your chance to learn more about what Monroe Hospital is and what they do, how they partner with IU Health. There's a lot of things that we're going to talk to Phil about in just a couple minutes. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here joining you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show tonight. Of course, Friday night, 6 o'clock, Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for the replay. And if you miss any part of the show, you can always go to WGCLradio.com. And we usually have the podcast up around Saturday midday. So if you miss any part of the show, you can go and check that out as well. And of course, we're streaming on WGCLradio.com 24/7. So if you're catching us midstream and you are out or you're at home, you can always tune in via your computer, your tablet, whatever the case may be, and listen into the show there as well. Excited to have a first-time guest in the studio tonight, Mr. Phil Lowe. He is the CEO of Monroe Hospital on the south side of Bloomington, the new CEO of Monroe Hospital, and glad to have you in the studio, sir.
Thank you very much, Jim. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you ended up here in Bloomington and at Monroe Hospital.
Well, I've been a hospital CEO now for almost 30 years and have spent the majority of my time in the smaller hospitals because I believe that they can provide care that's more personable, one-on-one, in more of a family-like setting. People can know each other on a first-name basis rather than getting lost in the crowds of a larger organization. I also believe that patient satisfaction scores are higher in the smaller hospitals because of their home-like setting and the very personal quality of care we can offer to our patients. Now, as far as why I came to Monroe Hospital, I have three sweet granddaughters that live just northeast of this area. So coming to Bloomington gave me an opportunity to live closer to them and to my daughter and son-in-law. Additionally, Monroe Hospital has been through a tough time recently, and coming here would be a way for me to work at one more smaller hospital in the latter part of my career to help it grow and expand its services to meet the needs of the community. I would love to see Monroe Hospital become the community hospital of Bloomington.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, for our listeners who have never had the opportunity to visit Monroe Hospital, can you give an overview of the types of services that you and your staff provide there?
Certainly. Monroe Hospital offers 32 private rooms for our patients. Four of the 32 are special intensive care beds where patients are monitored for more serious healthcare issues. The surgery suite offers five operating rooms and two additional endoscopy rooms for colonoscopy exams. A colonoscopy is an exam that checks the condition of the patient's colon. The emergency room service offers 24-hour, 7-day-a-week emergency care provided by board-certified physicians, along with an awesome nursing and support staff. Other patient care services include respiratory care for breathing difficulties, physical therapy to help people ambulate, occupational therapy, and speech therapy services for stroke rehabilitation, cardiology or heart services including stress testing, EKGs, nuclear medicine exams, and echocardiograms. Finally, Monroe has a full-time dietitian who offers counseling for diabetics and weight loss classes.
Wonderful. Full-service center then. There's been a lot of talk, as you probably are aware of in your role, with the discussion of IU Health and IU Health Bloomington Hospital and the potential relocation for that. Explain to everybody what exactly is the relationship between Monroe Hospital and IU Health Bloomington.
Certainly. Monroe Hospital and IU Health Bloomington have worked out an agreement to be able to share the same anesthesia and radiology groups of physicians. Both groups come to our Monroe Hospital as well as the larger hospital in Bloomington, IU Health.
Wonderful. Monroe Hospital, are there other locations connected with your facility around Bloomington, around southern Indiana at all?
Well, Monroe Hospital and the Monroe Medical Group are the two main divisions of our healthcare services in Bloomington. The parent company out of Ontario, California is Prime Healthcare Services, who agreed to purchase the hospital and medical group a few months ago following the bankruptcy. Since that time, hundreds of jobs have been preserved in the community, and several physicians have been retained to provide quality healthcare services to our patients. The Monroe Medical Group has offices on Landmark as well as on the hospital campus, and several employed physicians work closely with the hospital and also to provide quality patient care services to our patients.
We're talking with Mr. Phil Lowe. He is the new CEO of Monroe Hospital here in Monroe County. Talk a little bit about the Affordable Health Care Act and how it's impacted health care and the health services industry, at least from your perspective and what you bring over your years of experience.
Well, my perspective of the Affordable Care Act is with mixed emotions. This health care law has made it more available and affordable for uninsured people to get some kind of health care coverage, even though most of the deductibles are very high and difficult for most patients to afford before the insurance begins helping with the payments. It has required insurance companies to accept pre-existing conditions when patients bring health care issues with them to a new insurance company. Also, this law requires insurances to insure family members up to the age of 26 to give these young adults time to finish their education and get some type of health insurance on their own. I believe that these are favorable benefits from the Affordable Care Act. On the other hand, hospitals and providers can be penalized now with their Medicare payments if an electronic medical record is not implemented by 2016. Several providers are frustrated with this requirement because of the time it takes them away from caring for their patients in the office. These new documentation requirements are burdensome and reduce the number of patients a physician can see in the office each day.
We're talking with Mr. Phil Lowe, the new CEO of Monroe Hospital. We're going to take a break when we come back. I-69, obviously, if any of you have been driving around Bloomington and Monroe County, you know all too well how that has impacted travel and everything. We'll see how that's impacting Monroe Hospital and what their plans are to adapt as the traffic patterns change. We'll also talk about the history of Monroe Hospital a little bit. It's obviously, for those who've been around for some time, know that there have been some challenges that they've experienced, and we'll talk to Phil about how he is bringing things to right the ship with the staff at Monroe Hospital. Stay with us. We'll be back with more here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and Mr. Phil Lowe, the CEO of Monroe Hospital on the south side of Bloomington. And as I mentioned before the break, you know, I-69, if you travel anywhere between not really Bedford so much anymore, but just south of Bloomington on up through Martinsville and whatnot, it's all changing up instantly, daily. This week I left work one day and took one of two lanes going north on Highway 37, and the next day one lane was completely shut off. It's just a constant we're going to be dealing with for the next year, 18 months. And Phil, with I-69 coming in, that offers, I'm sure, opportunities to assist new patients, new families, and things like that. But sometimes the getting there part can be a challenge as well. So how is Monroe Hospital planning for I-69?
Well, the administrative team at Monroe Hospital has met with the I-69 planning team to clarify the impact that the new interstate will have on Monroe Hospital. We've been concerned about the placement of the blue H signs on the interstate to help guide people to the closest hospital in an emergency situation. They are working well with us to place the blue H signs on the interstate on the north side as well as the south side of the new Fullerton Pike off and on ramps.
Okay.
We believe that the new I-69 corridor will provide great opportunities for area residents of southern Indiana to access our hospital from further distances and with a much safer drive.
Wonderful, wonderful. I mentioned this in the last segment, and I just, you know, I try not to be political or anything on the show, but I have to ask, there have been challenges with Monroe Hospital over the years. As you mentioned earlier, there was a bankruptcy. There have been changes in leadership and different things like that. What are you bringing to the table? How do you plan to come in and right things and reestablish Monroe Hospital in our community and across really southern Indiana?
Well, like you said, Monroe Hospital clearly faces some challenges of building back a culture of viability to the residents of the area. We want to show our patients that they can receive the best quality of care at our hospital and with our doctors. The hospital has recently gone through this bankruptcy that hurt the image of a beautiful and relatively new facility. When you walk in the front lobby of the Monroe Hospital, it is almost breathtaking to see how beautiful the front lobby has been designed. Also, our patient satisfaction scores have rated Monroe Hospital as one of the cleanest hospitals of southern Indiana. Truthfully, I believe Monroe Hospital has everything going for it, which offers it the potential to be the premier facility in the community. I also believe that smaller healthcare facilities can provide a special kind of personal care that is not seen in the larger medical centers. Patients are treated as part of the Monroe family, and our high patient satisfaction scores indicate a very high level of confidence in our hospital. Yes, I really do believe our potential is very high to excel in providing safe, high-quality care to our patients.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let's talk about the long-term goals and plans for Monroe Hospital. Again, with I-69 coming through, that adds some new opportunities as well. Well, you're coming on board and obviously have a positive attitude and looking forward to these updates and everything, but are we seeing potentially increased services offered through the hospital, added staff? What are you seeing for the long-term planning, if you will?
We are just now in the process of developing a strategic long-range plan to establish our long-term goals and objectives. Our mission statement comes from our corporate Prime Healthcare Services, and it reads like this. The mission of Monroe Hospital endeavors to provide comprehensive, quality healthcare in a convenient, compassionate, and cost-effective manner. We also have a vision statement that reads like this. Monroe Hospital is consistently at the forefront of evolving national healthcare reform. Our organization provides an innovative and integrated healthcare delivery system. We remain ever cognizant of our patients' needs and desires for high-quality, affordable healthcare. We also have four value statements. I'd like to read those. Compassion. We provide an environment that's caring and conducive to healing the whole person physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We respect the individual needs, desires, and rights of our patients. Quality. We believe that continuous quality of care and performance improvement are the foundation for preserving and enhancing healthcare delivery. Effective communication and education of our patients, physicians, staff, and the community we serve are essential of this process. Comprehensive services. We are committed to an integrated healthcare delivery system that encompasses the entire spectrum of healthcare delivery. This continuum of health of care encompasses all aspects of an individual's healthcare. And finally, cost-effective services. We offer high-quality healthcare that's accessible and affordable.
Wonderful. Last question, and it's the biggest one of all. What else would you like to share about Monroe Hospital, share with our listeners, anything coming up or just why you're excited to be here now?
Yes, good. One more thing about something coming up pretty quickly on the calendar. We'll be having a blood drive in a mobile blood unit at the Monroe Hospital next Monday, May the 18th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It'll be located outside the emergency room department entrance. We encourage everyone to come and donate their blood, which gives them an opportunity to help someone else. Finally, I'm just grateful to be part of such a wonderful organization with so much potential. We have wonderful employees, most of which who have survived some difficult times over the past several months. They are truly the best in the whole world. I'm looking forward to working together to build up Monroe Hospital and to provide wonderful and high-quality care to our patients over the next many, many years.
Wonderful. Mr. Phil Lowe has been our guest this evening, and MonroeHospital.com for more information about that. And anytime you'd like to come back on, Phil, we'd love to have you.
We'd love to.
Wonderful. We're going to take a break, come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Lots to talk about on the sports scene here, and just a few minutes left in the show. And before I get to that, thanks again to Phil Lowe for joining us here on the Bloomington Review. This week we'll have that rebroadcast on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and then we'll get it up on WGCLRadio.com by noon on Saturday. Of course, WGCL Radio is your home for Reds coverage. Tonight, Friday night, the 15th, they are playing San Francisco. They're going to be on right after this show at 7:10. Saturday the 16th, same thing, San Francisco, 7:10 there for the game. Couple days off for the Reds, and then they head out to Kansas City for two games May 19th and 20th. 8:10 for those first pitches. Then May 22nd and 23rd, they're at Cleveland. The 22nd game is at 7:05. 23rd is at 4 in the afternoon. WGCLradio.com. Click on sports. We've got your Reds schedule right there. So if you need to get the update, that's where you go and check that out. Speaking of baseball, IU baseball is 29-10 overall. They're 9-10 in conference play, and the season is wrapping up this weekend. They are wrapping up at the BART, three games against Ohio State tonight, Saturday, and Sunday. If you've been listening to Chuck Crabb on Friday mornings with Glass, and I know that he was not on today, but last week and the week before, they've been talking about this, and the cutoff, if I'm not mistaken, is you've got to be in the top eight of the Big Ten in order to make it throughout the playoff season. So we're currently number seven in the Big Ten. The Big Ten tournament begins next week in Minneapolis, the 20th through the 24th. So hopefully we get to see the Hoosiers head up to Minnesota and get on that. The good news, according to the IU basketball, men's basketball fans, Indiana will visit defending national champion Duke on Wednesday, December 2nd, as part of the 2015 Big Ten ACC Challenge. Hoosiers have won three of their last four challenge matchups, winning at North Carolina State back in 2011, and they took home contest against North Carolina in 2013 and Pittsburgh in 2015. Now, this will be the third time that IU and Duke will face off in the event, which began back in 1999. They last met in 2006 when the Blue Devils captured a 54-51 contest at home against IU. In 2005, the Blue Devils won 75-67 at Assembly Hall. Now, the Hoosiers could play as many as five games against preseason nationally ranked squads in the non-conference season. This comes to us from IUHoosiers.com. And IU is going to be one of four preseason ranked programs to take the floor in the illustrious Maui Jim Maui Invitational, joining Kansas, UCLA, and Vanderbilt in the event. The Invitational will also feature UNLV and St. John's, who have recently added standout recruits, and more to come with that. So, IUHoosiers.com, Chuck Crabb can't preach it enough, and I am doing the same as well. Check that, follow it. They have all your news, all your updates right there. It's been a newsworthy week for the IU men's basketball team, though. Some unfortunate news. Earlier this week, Tuesday, the Herald Times reported that Indiana forward Devin Davis had been suspended from the team after he was cited for possession of marijuana on Monday night by IU police. Around 8 p.m. on Monday, odor of marijuana, residence hall, Hickory Hall. Officers arrived. They could detect the odor coming from a second-floor window, and the officer found a small amount of marijuana in a backpack owned by Davis, who was served a citation for possession of marijuana under 30 grams. Now, we all have been following his story and his recovery because he was the young man who was recovering from the traumatic brain injury from November 1st. Just a lot of things with that. So, late on Thursday, it was announced that, let me get my news up here so I can have it, from Fox 59, two Indiana University basketball players were dismissed from the team on Thursday. IU Senior Assistant Athletic Director J.D. Campbell released the following statement, according to Fox59.com. Indiana Men's Basketball announces that sophomore Devin Davis and senior Hanner Mascua Pereira have been dismissed from the program effective immediately for not living up to their responsibilities to the program. Davis was the one that they came for. And then Mascara Perea, and I know I'm butchering that name and I apologize, but he was present at the time of the incident, but he was not arrested either. So IU has lost two of its players for next season. Well, let's make that three players. Max Hotsel has landed a new spot out at San Diego State, where he is going to be playing for the Aztecs. He's going to sit out next season per the NCAA rules, but will be eligible to play at San Diego State in time for the 2016-2017 season. Inside Indiana, they broke the story. Hotsel visited San Diego State on Monday, shared a meal with the coach, Steve Fisher, and then worked out for him and his staff. Hotsel had interest from San Diego State prior to committing to Indiana University back in October 2013. Last month, he announced his intention to transfer from IU after an inconsistent freshman season. He was billed as a natural shooter, so it's not a surprise of where he has ended up, but still, it's just another one that came out this week along with our two who have been released from the team. It is going to be a rebuilding year. This is going to, I'm sure, fuel some discussion and some armchair quarterbacks, but we'll just see how things shake out and hope the best for the Hoosiers. That's all we can do at this point. As I mentioned earlier in the show, WGCL Radio is going to be your home for the Indianapolis 500 on May 24th, starting at 11 o'clock. We will have your coverage right here on AM 1370, so make sure that you tune in to that or 96.1 FM as well, whatever is convenient for you. But it is the 99th running of the Indianapolis 500, and it's not a full 99 years. It's actually gone on for a little bit more than 100, but there was time off during World War II where the race didn't occur, so it doesn't really... It is 99 years. That's what I'm getting at. So if you go to WGCLradio.com and click on the sports tab and then head over to IndyCar Racing, we've got all of that coverage there for you. Again, Sunday, May 24th, Indy 500 right here on WGCL Radio starting at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then the next race that we've got, Crown Royal 400, will be at the end of July. And then the Fontana race will be at the end of August. And thanks again to Advanced Auto Care, Menards, IU Credit Union, Meineke, Royal South Toyota, and JB Salvage, Truesdell Heating and Cooling, ValueNet Realty, and Simonton Mechanical. They are all sponsors of our 2015 IndyCar Series here on WGCL. Much appreciated to them and their support. And as I mentioned early on in the show, this is the most important sports news that you're ever going to hear this week and this weekend. The Dolls and Kickballs team, part of the Bloomington Adult Co-Rec League that plays out Thursday nights at Alcott Park out by Sherwood Oaks Church. Proud to be the co-coach with my buddy Josh James. And we came out on top for the season. Now, playoffs start next week, but we ended up a 5-0-1 season. We had one tie last week in our doubleheader. And again, it shouldn't have happened that way, but it did. It wasn't a loss. It counts for us. So we're going to take it and run with it. But considering that two seasons ago, summer 2014, we were the winners and recipients of the lovely trophy known as the Toilet Bowl, we stunk then. We don't stink right now. We are awesome. So glad to be part of it, and Steve Casper and his team have done a great job of organizing that, and it is an absolute blast. It's one-hour games. It is intense, but it is fun, and if you want to come out and play, learn more, track me down on here, hit me up on Facebook. I'll let you know about it because it is a blast, and it takes you back to the junior high days of kickball. And when you see a bunch of 30-ish to 50-ish men and women doing it, you're having a good time. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Don't forget also Joe Smith Reports Tuesday night, your high school sports coverage. They've got all of that there on Tuesdays with Joe. So make sure that you tune in for that every week. And, of course, WGCLradio.com has details there as well. We're going to wrap it up in just a couple minutes. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Still to this day, 80s music, good synthesizer like that. I mean, come on. That doesn't take you back to the best time. Well, something's just wrong with you. That's all I'm saying. Jim Inman here, wrapping up the show on the Bloomington Review. Thanks so much for tuning in on your Friday night, or if you're starting your weekend with us Saturday morning, glad that you have awakened. To the late Libby Hudson, who is my wonderful high school teacher, I apologize that I don't remember if you've woken up with us, awakened with us. If you started your morning off with us, glad to have you here on WGCL Radio. And again, Reds coverage Friday night right after the show. And then if you're catching us Saturday morning for the replay, Your Money with David Hayes right after us with America's IRA expert, Mr. Ed Slott. So David will be talking to Ed and giving some great information and tips for folks out there as well. Forecast for the weekend, a little bit wet, a little bit warm, but could be worse. Friday night, tonight, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, low around 66. On Saturday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 79. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy with a low around 67. And then on Sunday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 82. It looks like the week is going to start off warm, but then Tuesday and Wednesday, the weather drops down into the high 60s. So nice, cool midweek next week if all shakes shakes out according to that. All your weather all the time at WGCLradio.com, 96.1 FM and AM 1370 WGCL. A couple things coming up over the weekend from our friend Julie Warren at Visit Bloomington. It is the Harrodsburg Heritage Days Festival and Craft Fair. Started on Friday and continues on Saturday all day down at the Harrodsburg Community Center. It's a free event. They've got a fish fry, tenderloin fry, live entertainment, music, kids, tractor pull, parade, antique engine show, just all kinds of good old classic fun. So head down to Harrodsburg if you want to be participate in all of that. As we mentioned before, IU versus Ohio State at the BART. This is the last in the regular season, and then we go into the Big Ten tournament in just a week or so. Let's see here. What else do we have here? On Saturday, the 16th, the Intergenerational Open House. The third Intergenerational Open House is where local seniors will be hosting hands-on craft and art booths for all generations to participate in. This is at the IU Campus Children's Center. It's a free event. And again, all of this and much more available at visitbloomington.com. And we'll probably have Julie on right around Memorial Day or a little bit after because of all the stuff coming up throughout the summertime in Bloomington and Monroe County. Father's Day is coming up in mid-June, and I think that, if I remember correctly, the Taste of Bloomington is like the third Saturday of June, but I can't remember the exact date. We'll find out. Julie will have that in the next few weeks when she is here on the show. Summertime, speaking of, have you seen all these little caterpillars that are crawling around on the sidewalk and in trees, and they're causing all kinds of potential frustration for folks because of what they are doing? They're called Eastern Tent Caterpillars, and they're getting into the trees, building like webbing and nests, if you will. They probably won't kill a healthy adult tree, but they're going to wreck some havoc on your bushes, little trees, saplings, plants, things like that. They can become very, very problematic, according to the folks at the Purdue Extension Office. They're crawling around. They develop into moths. They do all kinds of things. But the main thing is that the caterpillars do their damage at night, leaving their tents, so to speak, after the sun goes down. And so they get up in the trees. They cause all kinds of problems. You've had to have seen these things. They're a little black, maybe an inch and a quarter long. What to do? Well, according to the Purdue Extension Office, they say throw soapy water over the area. Sudsy soapy water is something that the caterpillars cannot tolerate. People have tried burning the webs. It's probably not the best idea to do something like that. You don't want to damage your tree or anything. But just be smart about it. But the soapy water should be the treatment, if you will, for these things. And they're a problem, but it is what it is. So get to planting this weekend if you can catch some time when the weather is nice and there's not too much rain coming down. The old adage from what I've always heard is you plant in Indiana after Mother's Day, because then you're pretty much guaranteed no more frost or anything like that. Thanks again to Phil Lowe from Monroe Hospital for joining us this week. And hopefully Mr. Pillar will be back in the studio. And I'm just going to sit and let him talk for an hour and let him roll with it whenever he gets back in the studio. Have a great week. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. And, of course, WGCLRadio.com as well for everything on the station. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay dry, stay safe. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.